Go ahead, Julia.
I think that, the angle that Kim is looking at it from is a different perspective than what Ursula and Ruth are looking at it from. Kim is looking at it from an accounting perspective of the revenue that's coming in. You know, and pretty much we're doing cash based here, but you know, in the cash coming in and the cash going out. So she's correct. It's there is a deficit for the fiscal year 22. The in money coming in was not enough to cover the expenses going out, but you fortunately had cash in the bank from prior years that allowed you to make it through that. And so I
exactly.
She just doesn't want to, you know, she wants to make sure now that, you know, so much where you've said, like you and you're accurate, you used to have more of like $60,000 in the bank. You know, we don't have as much cushion going into 23. And, you know, I've made that point to other units when it's been brought up about, oh, well, we might need to borrow money. I says, no, there's no place to borrow it from. You know, affiliates doesn't have, cannot dip in any longer because their reserve that they had is much smaller than it was. Now, of course, you're going to have your big increase in cash come up here in like September, October, November, because you've got all these renewals that are starting up. But it's not necessarily going to replenish your savings or that cushion that you had.
Oh, no, it's going to take us several years anyway to reclaim that reserve that we initially started out. I believe it 50,000, and then with an increase of 5,000 a year, beginning in like 2019, right? Yeah. So no, we don't have that reserve any longer.
Let's go to Mac.
Pardon me.
We're going to the next question. Go ahead, Jack.
This is McFadden. I want to make a comment, and it's kind of the same comment I made before. I think especially when these types of budgets are being done by different people over time, it really helps if the assumptions are actually put into the budget. And so if you're, and it sounded like earlier in the discussion that there was assumptions being made. And so like there's going to be a 10% increase in revenues. So you put a line in the budget that's kind of down below all these that says we're assuming 10% increase in revenues for this reason. And then you write 10% there and then you write your formula to include that. So that it becomes obvious to somebody who inherits a budget like this, what kind of assumptions went in the past. And I would just recommend that we try to do this kind of thing where we don't just put in numbers. Let me just give an example. So, on line three, where you have the actuals, which are for 10 months, which is 160,000 roughly, and then you have the estimated. I don't know how you get from 160 to 182 unless you're going to take the 160 and you're going to multiply it times 12 tenths, which would just account for two more months of revenue. And if you did that, though, you'd get 192,000, not 182. So I don't kind of know, like, how you get from 160 to 182 or estimated without some kind of formula, you know, putting in there, which and the whole reason for spreadsheets is to put formulas in because they prevent you from making, you know, a typo or something like that.
I do have spreadsheets for that. That's where I got that 182,000 is from my spreadsheet. I send that as part of my monthly report every month, and it's a monthly spreadsheet, and there's totals and all that, and you can see what you can estimate it to be by, you know, by looking at past month, past year, same month. So that's where that 182 has come from. And as to your request about explaining the increase in the affiliation revenue on the sheet. Yes, definitely. I do hope you did my addressing. That was one of the first questions that Julia had that I answered, was explaining that increase and that the difference is, you know, what the difference is between what we expect, what we have right now, and what we propose. And that difference is an increase of $7,000 or of $6,700, actually. So that would be divided by. So that's more like a 3% increase, which sounds kind of reasonable.
May I chime in on this for a second here? I just want to say that we did have a conversation prior to the meeting about, you know, formulas, including formulas. It would always be helpful if you have spreadsheets that have the ways that you arrived at things, if you could send that to us. And I know you're sending that in. You said you're sending that in. I assume you mean to the national office. So it would help us to see that too. And I know that Julia had asked for some notes to be put on the budget to accompany it so that we would have an explanation, for example, of the increase in the dues and the fees. And I understand somebody was, there was a medical issue or somebody had a difficulty. And so there wasn't enough time to include that. But, you know, next time around, it's good. Anything that, and one of the problems is you understand it, but you have to think of somebody looking at it for the first time to help them understand it, include notes to explain things and any formulas and spreadsheets to help you arrive at things, you can put in there as attachments. So it would be helpful.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were notified Friday we needed to have this done on Tuesday.
That's
right.
Right. And that's appreciated that you got that done.
We'll definitely take that note.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had a pretty fast turnaround on this, and then today Ruth had a medical issue, and so she wasn't able to respond.
We did have notes on our 2021 budget, if that means anything. That, and I had charts as to how I arrived at the, you know, the wages and salary broke down and the, you know, hours per week and all that. Yeah,
I remember, and I will reiterate that you guys did a very quick turnaround on this at my request because, you know, we're running out of time with NEDA, and we needed to go somewhere where we knew we could get something on a quick turnaround, and you were it, and you did it. So that's, we appreciate that and acknowledge it.
Yeah. Also, in terms of the, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ruth, but in terms of the anticipated increase, we're also trying to, I mean, it's not an exact science because we're dealing with, you know, a lot of different clients who are community radio stations. They're not, you know, corporations. So we tried to factor in that we may lose a few. And so we're, you know, we tried to factor that into the increase as well.
Thank you. Any other questions?
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Does anybody else want to speak?
I paused long enough. I think somebody could have jumped in. But
okay.
We'll keep going.
I just want to point out that your budget last year of affiliate dues was $182,000. And no, your budget last year was $244,000. And you're estimating $182,000. So I'm a little reluctant about this $230,000 number this year because last year was kind of way off.
Last year we were hoping to roll out our internet tech package for payment. As it happened, we only started to collect from a few affiliates, maybe, not the whole 27 that we have now. It was kind of in test, you know, testing mode, can we say?
Well, yeah, also we had a delay because we had to wait till we could afford the lawyer fees to make the contract, which, you know, was an arduous process, and it took longer both on the lawyer's part and also on our ability to afford a lawyer, so we didn't get started as quickly as we had hoped.
Okay. Thanks.
So yeah, the 240,000 for affiliate revenue, as opposed to a little over 250 for fiscal year 22. Yeah, we've lowered that a bit. I mean, it does remain to be seen what, you know, how percentage of our accounts receivable we can collect. And I would look at, you know, when I do the end of September, I mean, I look at that too. So we can make projections. You know, some of that accounts receivable is just going to be uncollectible. But I didn't allow for uncollectible AR in this budget, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps to kind of understand our vision for this. We're kind of trying to walk the line between keeping our operations solid so that we're not jeopardizing the fixed costs. But we are frankly pushing to improve the services because we need to keep up the value of the service in a market where we have to demonstrate value. So we do have ambitions to do that. And, you know, we've removed one of our projects, and we're hoping to meet the last two projects we have. And so, you know, that our ambition reflects that. I mean, we do commit ourselves to a significant amount of central services, which we do provide. And we're really committed to keeping all that up. So we've set high goals for ourselves because we want to keep on that level. Yeah, we budgeted 45,000 for central services.
So that's a big chunk of, I guess that's why we had to get so optimistic with things like revenue with everything we have, it's 3% increase in revenue, assuming everyone pays. So
yeah, and I mean, we're aware that part of that ambition includes these two projects that we want to keep doing, and we're also aware that if we can't, we're going to have to cut them. And that's just the reality. We're not going to jeopardize our operations.
This is Julia.
Ursula, this is James. We had some conversations about that, and you were saying, you know, emphatically that, you know, if you develop a deficit and it's, you know, you can't make your way, you will cut those programs. You really seem to have no doubt about that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
reluctantly, but you know, it had to be done.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you get there,
I mean, we hated to get rid of COVID, Race, and Democracy. It's a valuable show, and it's a show that brings affiliates into, you know, participating in the network. But we had to cut it.
Right.
This is Kim.
And go ahead, Kim.
Well, they could still keep doing it as volunteers. It's only once a week.
I think they are still doing it.
They're still doing it. We're just not paying for it. I mean, we were paying for the show, and we're not paying for it anymore. They're still doing it.
Okay. Well, it's
and
only
we're, still,
once a week.
We're still operating with them. I mean, we're still working with them to provide affiliate input, but we just don't pay the producers anymore the way we were.
And that's been since April?
We paid through April, yes.
Yeah, okay. Got it. Okay. Are there any other... Hello?
Julia.
Oh, go ahead, Julia.
I just wanted to clarify, too, that the 3% number, I think it was 3% that Ursula and Ruth were referring to, that's an increase over what they were estimating that they would have come in. But it's a 30% increase over fiscal year, projected fiscal year 22 year end.
Okay. Well, the increase is.
Hold on, Ruth, could you let Julia finish what she was saying? I didn't get the end, Julia.
Yeah.
She's saying part of that is made up of that grant light item and a small increase in
the IT services.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A small increase in the contributions and the IT services. So, you know, there's an extra $7,000 in there from the grant, which, and then, you know, the more significant increases in the affiliate dues, which they talked about. But I just want to make sure that it's understood it's a 30% increase over projected year end, but a 3% increase over what they feel like they can do.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Are there any other questions? So I think what we're going to do now is there was conversation about going into executive session so we could talk about proprietary items and things that would perhaps involve contractual or personnel issues. If we're going to do that, it's one thing, but if we were going to come to some kind of a vote on this budget, we would have to come back from executive session to do that. So how do people want to deal with that? Do we want to go into executive session and then pop back out again for a minute, or do we want to I don't think we can do a vote now before we go into executive session and talk about some things, but would we possibly, the other possibility would be put off a vote until next week. Go ahead, Kim.
This is Kim, and I move to do the second, that we take a vote next week.
Okay, let's see if we have anybody else who wants to discuss that. And I'll say,
I noticed that. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Take a while to get unmuted.
All right. Go ahead.
I wanted to get some clarification on this 3% versus 30%, which I think I understand where that comes from. But I just don't. So if it really is a 30%. Change. How does that square? It just seems like this is very optimistic.
Well, this, the estimated actual includes $12,000 approximately of uncollected fiscal year. More than that. We have uncollected fiscal year 2022 of about $30,000 and a little less, and about I think we still have about $10,000 uncollected from previous fiscal years. So that's money that's we're not gonna probably get by the end of 2022 fiscal year.
Okay. My understanding of that was that you would continue to get a reducing amount of that and, you know, smaller amounts of that in the future. Those numbers diminish until they just kind of go away and you have to write it off. Is that right?
Right. I mean, I still keep working at it. I don't really write them off unless gone off the air, or two, they can show financial hardship.
You had $25,000 last year, and that's now down to $10,000. So you collected $15,000, right?
That's a good ballpark. Yes, yes. Yeah. And so that's, I'm not counting on getting all of that by the end of September.
James, do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, normally, you know, and I've done budgets over the years, you know, that and you typically would use trends so that you could have, you know, your actual this year being 182, but to get it from fiscal year 2022 at 182 to 230 for the next year, there's got to be some built-in assumptions, you know, how that can go up by that, you know, almost $50,000.
Yeah.
So,
Let me finish the question. Go ahead, James.
Now you could do it. Normally you would do like linear regression. So you just take the, you know, if the previous year had been 130,000 and then this year was 180, it went up by 50, then you might be able to project, okay, we're in a rising trend. But every other, you know, at least most of the stations are on a downward trend. So to project a increase of 50,000 when everywhere else things are going down just seems, you know, without some kind of assumptions. And that's, you know, and it's okay to make those assumptions, but they just need to be, you know, spelled out, you know, what those assumptions are in a budget so that you can track to see if those assumptions are happening. And that's why I'm saying it's really good to have some area where you state the assumptions that'll get you from one number to another. So we can kind of say, okay, this is realistic or it's not very realistic. You know, and if the realistic is, well, we got money in the bank, we're going to use that, you know, instead of affiliate dues, you know, maybe that can be written in there. But it's just, it seems like something like that, you know, there needs to be some connection because there's a real disconnect between 182 and 230.
Well, I mean, if you want me to make some kind of trend like that for you, I could work on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all understand, though, that these past 2 years have been very, very strange years. And it's very difficult to use the past 2 years as a trend. I mean, these 2 years were pandemic years, and everybody kind of crashed. And now we're seeing, I mean, I understand what, and I'm not dismissing what you're saying. But I'm also saying that I think that you can kind of understand, too, that these past 2 years was not a trend. It was, it was kind of a devastating experience for everybody that was an anomaly. I do have to say one thing, you know, we are on the upswing. I know that other people in the network are on the downswing, but we are not. We have held very solid. We have provided central services consistently. We have paid our operations consistently, and we are getting, you know, we have two new affiliates this week, but we have two more pending, and we are experiencing an upswing. We just are. So we're going with that, but we're also prepared to cut back if we're being over optimistic, but we are actually experiencing an upswing here at the affiliate network.
I'm just saying, I'm really happy that there is. And clearly in your mind, you know what those assumptions are that get you to that number. It's just that if we're reviewing this budget, we need to know what those are, you know.
Okay.
It would just be helpful to have those. And that's what, you know, and, you know, it can be a separate sheet that says these are the assumptions that allowed us to do this, you know, that allow us, you know, maybe the assumption was, well, these have been bad years. And if we go back 3 or 4 years, it was 230, you know, and so we think we're going to be back into the trend now. It's just that there's a disconnect between what, you know, because you've been working on this and that what we can understand when we look at it and we don't know what all those assumptions are. So there just needs, it can be a separate document or the best way is to build it into the spreadsheet.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd like to, if I could add something. Yeah, absolutely. A narrative on the spreadsheet would be good. I hoped to have answered those questions at the beginning of the interview. That was one of the first ones I addressed that Julia had sent to me in an email. And I think your point about having trends, trend analysis is very valuable. It would be very valuable to interpreting, you know, things here. But sadly, I'm not a financial analyst. I'm a bookkeeper. And I would like to be able to make trends analyses and things like that. I do keep records and look at them and kind of make a, you know, I can see a trend and it can help me with things. But I don't actually generate those financial analyses. I look at my spreadsheets basically. So
we're getting a little short on time, and we're actually over time for this item right now. So I'm going to just break in here and suggest that, if possible, Ruth, do you think you could, you know, together with Julia, work up some notes that we could use, and before we vote on this next week, we could review some of that.
Okay. Is there anything we didn't discuss tonight that you would like me to write notes on?
I don't have anything, but perhaps you could keep an open line to Julia, and if anybody comes up with anything as they're looking at it more closely,
okay.
You know, we can use that as a way to get to you.
I went over the ones that she had written to me in this email. So if there's anything that's not in there, that in addition that you would want me to do, let me know.
I appreciate that very much. Is that good, James? Are you happy with that idea?
Yeah, and just, you know, it can be a little one-sheet write-up or something. Just, you know, it doesn't help, you know, it really helps a lot, I should say, to have an understanding of what, you know, she knows. She works the books. I mean, people who work the books know how these things. And you can write a paragraph. You know, there's a lot of ways to do it, you know. It's I like it to see in the spreadsheet, but it doesn't have to be. It can just be a write-up of assumptions that you make. And assumptions are, like, really important in production.
Well, James, would you be open to having this be, if desired, be a little back and forth between you and Ruth, and you could talk about it and give her an idea of what you're looking for, and then actually this could help her in the future, and everybody could benefit. What do you think of that?
I'm open with that for sure. And, you know, if she writes up what she thinks are assumptions, and I'm happy to respond and have some back and forth. You know, I want to be helpful here. I really don't want to be critical about this because I know this is hard stuff.
That would be great. That's a great attitude.
And,
I love it.
And if we build, you know, that kind of thing over time, you know, then it helps people who inherit these budgets, you know, later.
Absolutely.
On when you take somebody else's. And that's the way, I did some really complicated budgets in my time. And I didn't know anything going into them, and I had to spend a couple of months learning how to do it. But these kind of budgets are actually much, much simpler in some sense. And I think, you know, it can be done, and it just, you know, it's sometimes just kind of hard to take that first step.
I'll certainly write up some notes, James. Like I said, they're not present tonight. For a big reason, just because of lack of time.
Yeah, there was a quick turnaround. I got it. And so after the meeting, let's, you know, exchange some contact information so we can open up those lines. That's good. Great. Okay.
Yeah. Is there going to be an executive session part of this meeting?
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to, I'm suggesting we move on to. And I think we might even need to have get a small extension in time. I don't know if we voted. I forget if we voted on that. I know I mentioned it. Did we vote on picking that option of going to executive session now, voting on this at next week's meeting? Was there any objection to that? Hearing none, we'll do that. Now, if we're ready to go to executive session, Fred, it has been suggested that if we all hang up,
you don't have to
dial back in.
You don't have to hang up.
I know what you're going to say. Hold on. I know what you're going to say because we've been through this before, but it has been suggested if we hang up, that would give you a nice clean tape, and then we could all call back in and have a separate executive session that would be
none of those things are true. I have a clean recording on my computer. All I need to do is cut the stream on when you want.
Okay. Is that acceptable to everyone? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, let's do that then.